Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, May 4th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Senator Patty Murray of Washington proposes bill to close loopholes allowing super rich to go without paying taxes. UAW union explains political moment at Pullman May Day event. And Cascades Highway, US 20 in northwestern Washington, will remain closed at the summit long into the summer because of flooding in December. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Democratic U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington has proposed a bill in Congress that would close a loophole that allows the super rich to avoid paying inheritance taxes by putting money into tax-exempt trusts. Murray's bill only targets trusts that hold at least $50 million. The Fair Trusts for Fiscal Responsibility Act would create a new tax withholding system for those larger trust accounts and would create annual tax brackets starting at 1% going up to 3% for billion-dollar trusts. The bill would only target those who use trusts to avoid paying existing estate taxes and exempts charitable trusts and others that are not commonly used in estate planning. Murray says the bill is necessary at a time when wealth inequality is at its highest in decades and the federal budget deficit is approaching $2 trillion a year. According to the Spokesman Review, Murray's office estimates the bill could generate $670 billion in revenue for the federal government over 10 years, which would be enough to pay for universal child care and restore the health insurance subsidies that Republicans allowed to expire at the end of 2025. Americans for Tax Fairness Executive Director David Cass said, "If people knew that only the super rich paid the estate tax, I think we'd be having a different conversation in this country. The purpose of the estate tax is obviously to make sure that the super rich don't get so rich that they take over everything, and that some of that money is used to invest in schools and healthcare and all the things that make life affordable for the rest of us." Opponents of taxing wealth in that way argue policies like that discourage saving and investment. Americans for Prosperity tax policy fellow Patrick Fleener told the Spokesman Review, "Do people really want to discourage people from saving money and, in fact, encouraging conspicuous consumption? Because that's what's going to happen if you just basically told everyone at the end of your life the government is going to take 100% of what you saved." The United Amalgamated Workers Local in Pullman held a May Day march downtown on Saturday and a celebration at Rainy Park. The event included fun and games, food, as well as speeches addressing the political moment. Here is Washington State University graduate student Jane Gorski.
"Rising authoritarianism, we have a fascist back in the White House, still there. A do-nothing Congress. Even the Republicans in power can't do ish. Trump is a problem, but he is not the problem. The people who put him in power and the vulnerabilities he has exploited and the laws he has flaunted have long been in our system. If we simply win in 2026 and 2028, we cannot allow on mere electoralism. We need new Reconstruction amendments. We need to take on what former President Biden suggested for the Supreme Court, 18-year term limits, single terms, every 2 years a new justice is appointed. An enforceable code of ethics for the Supreme Court, like every other judge has. We have corrupt members of the court that honestly should be impeached for their bribery and their corruption and their refusal to recuse themselves. We have a Congress that refuses to enact its power to rein in the president, so the president must be reined in. Nobody can be above the law, and the only way we are going to do that is through constitutional amendments. Those are hard. We have not had one since the 90s, and that was a technicality because it had been proposed in the 1790s. The last time an actual new constitutional amendment passed through Congress was in, don't quote me on this, but I believe the 1970s. For lowering the voting age to 18, which was a win. The Equal Rights Amendment failed. It needs to be brought back. We need to amend the pardon power so the president cannot pardon himself, his immediate family, members of his administration, and that any pardon can be vetoed by Congress within a certain time limit. We need to uncap the House so we have proper representation. I'd argue we should amend the Senate as well, because that is an institution that has long outgrown its purpose. We are not a union of disparate states. We are the United States, one country across the continent. And this idea that lines in the sand, that just over there in Idaho, they should have more representation, the same representation in the Senate than we in Washington have, is ludicrous when we have so many more people. We live in a world where a tiny minority of Christian nationalists, of neo-Nazis and white supremacists, can cloak their barely disguised lies in enough theoretical plausible deniability for white middle-class America that they will continue to rule over millions and affect the rest of the world with illegal wars, saber-rattling at our allies. Russia is invading Ukraine. The war has been going on longer than some parts of World War II now. They are still there. Our president is in bed with Putin. Putin got him elected in 2016. Trump was not exonerated by the Mueller report. They decided they couldn't exonerate him, but they couldn't convict him due to longstanding Justice Department policy. Trump is their ally, and what does he do? He threatens NATO. Say what you will about the neoliberal order. We cannot threaten to take Greenland when Russia is actively aiming its sights on not just Ukraine, but Poland and the Baltic states and the rest of Europe. We continue instead to try and appease the madman because Trump likes him. Then in the Middle East, we fund weapons to Israel as they commit genocide and expand their borders, taking the Golan Heights from Syria, expanding to southern Lebanon, and now they have entrapped us, their ally, in a pointless and senseless war against Iran. Now, I am no fan of the Ayatollah. Several of my friends and coworkers are Iranian-American. They're immigrants, and they celebrated upon his death. But they want the war to be over swiftly so that their family can be free, and so they are safe to go back home. And they are no fan of Trump. The administration has frozen immigration processes, so even people here legally cannot update their immigration status, and when their visas run out, they will be told to leave. ICE has killed American citizens and many, many more non-citizens. The camps they are building are nothing short of concentration camps. Not death camps, not yet. But concentration camps. And America is no stranger to them. We did them during World War II. FDR, a president many admire, interred Japanese Americans. I'm from Puyallup, Washington. We have the state fair there. It was called Camp Harmony back then. Washington State also is no stranger, as is the rest of America, to interring Native Americans. I'm from Puyallup, Washington. The Puyallup tribe do not live there. They live on a reservation next door. Our country is built in blood. And if we do not act quickly, if we do not protest, if we do not unionize, if we do not strike, if we do not call our representatives, if we do not vote, if we do not fight for what is right, then it will take blood to take it back from the same forces that have always threatened it. The struggle goes on forever.
That was Washington State University graduate student Jane Gorski speaking at the United Amalgamated Workers Local Unions May Day celebration in Pullman Saturday. Local activist and WSU Global Justice, Peace, and Security Studies PhD student Shay Ortega spoke about the history of victories the labor movement has already achieved in the United States.
Once upon a time, this was considered a radical, impossible dream to have a standard workday. We worked hard for that. August Spies was one of the high market martyrs, and they said, "The day will come when our silence will be more powerful than the voices you are strangling today." physical gatherings in public spaces are a tribute to those who were silenced so that we could have the right to speak and organize in the open air. And if you couldn't tell by all of the honking, y'all are very popular. Rightfully so. Mother Jones, who famously led the March of the Mill Children to protest child labor, said, "Pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living."
And that was Shay Ortega speaking at the UAW local May Day celebration Saturday in Pullman. KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox assisted with this story.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Hungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Idaho is one of five U.S. states without state-funded preschool and instead emphasizes local and private solutions. That's despite increased spending by other states. According to the latest State of Preschool report from the National Institute for Early Education Research, Idaho, Montana, New Hampshire, South Dakota, and Wyoming don't fund public preschool programs. Nicole Kreiner with the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children says that doesn't mean the state is doing nothing for early childhood education.
Idaho really has taken a parent choice approach for early learning opportunities. And what I mean by that is we really value the opportunity for parents to provide those for early years, that foundation for early learning.
Universal public preschool remains a complex topic in Idaho, with polls showing public support for expanding early learning options. Idaho's legislature, however, has shied away from debating it. This year, a budget committee turned down $16 million in federal grant money intended to expand child care availability, citing concerns about fraud in other states. A recent audit showed few instances of fraud among nearly 800 providers in Idaho. Kreiner says Idaho has chosen locally led solutions for pre-K education, which includes her group's early learning collaboratives. She says there are 24 of them across the state, and they bring together community and school leaders, parents, teachers, and local businesses. Kreiner understands affordable child care is a big issue for families, and some collaboratives provide child care spots. She says she and her colleagues will keep advocating for more high-quality, accessible childcare.
What I'd really love to see is the continued recognition of the role early learning plays in family stability and workforce participation in Idaho.
The State of Preschool report indicates a record-breaking 1.8 million children enrolled in state-funded preschool nationally during the 2024-2025 school year, with state spending $14.4 billion during that time. I'm Laura Hatch, Northern Rockies News Service.
Damage from December's floods in western Washington will keep the North Cascades Highway closed near the summit this year. U.S. Highway 20 usually reopens after winter closure in April or May, depending on the amount of snow. The east end of the highway reportedly opened for the season Thursday, but 26 miles west of the summit from milepost 130 at Diablo Lake to milepost 156 at Porcupine Creek will be closed to all public use, including cyclists and hikers, for the foreseeable future. Washington Transportation Department Mount Baker Area Regional Administrator Melissa Ambler told the Bellingham Herald there are washouts for several miles within the 26-mile closure. Ambler said, "This isn't just clearing debris. In many places, we have to rebuild the roadway from the ground up." The Transportation Department said, In several locations, heavy runoff overwhelmed culverts and drainage systems, sending water over and beneath the roadway. That water washed away the material supporting the highway, leaving sections of pavement undermined. In some places, the road is no longer fully supported underneath. Crews working under an emergency 30-day contract will begin clearing a rock slide near Diablo Lake today, but repairs on other parts of the road will likely take much longer.
Civic engagement leaders in Washington call on the state to adopt ranked choice voting as a way to secure voting rights against changes to the Federal Voting Rights Act. Last week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling found a majority black district in Louisiana to be unconstitutional, and critics of the decision say it will lead to less representation for people of color across the country. Nilu Jenks with Fair Vote Washington says it does not serve the country's democracy to keep fighting over redistricting.
The answer is reforming our electoral system that has not been serving us. We all feel it's not serving us. It is driving political violence. We deserve to have a system that gives people more voice and more choice, and that's proportional ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice allows voters to rank candidates in order of preference rather than selecting just one. And the proportional method enables multiple candidate districts, allowing more elected members to bodies like a city council. Jenks says that option closely reflects the diversity and views of a community. A ranked choice bill in the state legislature meant for local governments failed to advance this session. Common critiques of this idea include it being complicated while delaying results. Cindy Black with Fix Democracy First says the current voting system gives too much power to whoever is drawing the district maps.
Moving to a more proportional representation type system can get rid of gerrymandering altogether by electing multiple people at the same time.
Proponents of ranked choice voting argue it ensures majority and minority groups are represented because winners must secure over 50% of votes, unlike the current system where a candidate can win with only a fraction of the vote. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Montana filmmakers are lifting up stories of people improving kids' health through food. The Community Film Project is six short films about rural schools and communities getting creative to teach kids about food and good health. The Nakusum School in Arley, Montana, on the Flathead Reservation, teaches Kalispell and Salish language and culture. Food director Francis Brown Lone Bear adds to that through school lunches, which he cooks from scratch using indigenous foods like bison, elk, and local produce. This is a clip from one of the recently released movies.
We try to gather and pick our foods the best we can. We take field trips with the students to gather what we need, and we try to incorporate all that stuff with our meals.
The Montana Partnership to End Child Hunger, or Mount Peck, collaborated with Montana filmmaker Laura Tomas on the project. You can find the films on Mount Peck's website and YouTube channels. Mount Peck co-executive director K.N. Miller says in rural areas, healthy food can be hard to access, and schools often become nutrition hubs. She says the Community Film Project tells the stories of people who've turned a desire to help into action.
It started with one person who got interested and inspired and said, we can do something. And they just started gathering like-minded people around them and created a solution that fit their own community.
Lisa Lee is also a co-executive director with Mount Peck. She says during a time when it's difficult to bring in fresh, quality, Montana-grown food, the reaction to the film so far has been powerful, with people reaching out to say more can be done. She hopes the film series brings attention to this unnoticed work and inspires others to act on their own ideas.
We are an agricultural state. The food is right in front of us. And how much hope does it give our producers and our schools if we just start seeing meals that are reflective of the food that's grown in front of us?
Three of the six films have already been released, and the final three will be released this week. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection.
Oregon's wolf population continues to grow and spread into new areas, according to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's latest report. But more wolves means additional threats to livestock and more wolf killings. The report documents at least 230 wolves in the state as of the end of last year, 26 more than the year before. However, 14% of the known population was killed last year, largely due to concerns they were preying on livestock. Sally Compton with Think Wild Central Oregon says federal cuts have limited the implementation of more non-lethal means of protecting livestock.
Anytime you see these numbers where the wolf populations are increasing and depredations are increasing, what about the resources that we're offering for both the wolves and the landholders? And unfortunately, we're actually seeing a decline in that in real time.
Compton explains there are many effective ways to keep wolves away from livestock, including fencing, hazing, and removing cattle carcasses that attract wolves. These all take energy and time, she says, so collaborating with volunteers and other organizations to get the work done is key. Compton says with the passage of Oregon's 1.25% for wildlife bill, which boosts the state's transient lodging tax, some help is on the way for wolves and landowners alike.
Part of this funding will provide support for additional coexistence staff for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We're hoping that part of that can be with wolf coexistence.
The new law will also provide funding for counties for non-lethal wolf management grants and for compensation grants for landholders. She says the bill was a bipartisan effort, supported by conservation groups as well as the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality has awarded $1.8 million to the city of Lewiston to construct a carbon dioxide system to treat contaminated water and to decommission a well that is contaminated with forever chemicals. Forever chemicals are linked to increased cancer risk, high cholesterol, and lower birth rates, and affect liver, thyroid, and immune systems, even in very, very small amounts. The award comes in the form of an Idaho Department of Environmental Quality 0% interest loan with 100% principal forgiveness from the department's revolving loan fund. The money comes from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's Emerging Contaminants Program. The federal money comes from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that President Joe Biden signed in 2021. The Moscow City Council tonight will conduct a public hearing required by Idaho law on amending the city's fee resolution to allow the city to charge processing fees to people who use credit and debit cards to pay city fees. The city has been charging those fees with the exception of the fees required by the Parks and Recreation Department. The agenda item said, the city's recreation program software vendor had historically required the city to pay those fees, but now allows the use of other payment processors, which allows the city to have the customer pay the processing convenience fees associated with these payment formats. The proposed processing convenience fees for recreation programs will be 2.75% of the transaction with a $2 minimum, and 3.5% with no minimum for concession sales. The City Council will also consider a request from the Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Downtown Business Alliance to amend the city's temporary downtown entertainment district ordinance that allows open containers during permitted events when Main Street or another downtown street is closed to vehicular traffic for the special events. The amendment would allow for liquor sales as well as the beer and wine sales that are already allowed during permitted events. The Moscow City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear through Wednesday, low 48 tonight with north winds 5 to 10 becoming east after midnight, gusts up to 20. High 69 tomorrow, east winds 10 to 15 becoming north in the afternoon, gusts up to 25. Low 45 Tuesday night, north winds 5 to 10 becoming east after midnight, gusts up to 20, and a high of 74 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy, low 51 Wednesday night, sunny, high 72 Thursday. Currently 72 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. And thank you to all that helped distribute food at our fundraising booth at Moscow Renaissance Fair at our food booth, and those who purchased food there, those who listened to the KRFP live broadcast from Moscow Renaissance Fair in East City Park, and all the people involved in Renaissance Fair. I'm Lee Robartis. Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse, 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next. 7:30, music begins in earnest with Bex doing Spotlight. Chia Pet's on 9 to 11 playing music for you. And at 11 o'clock, we got Nardwar, the human serviette. So stay tuned.